Nice dancing, Ree.
Thanks. Just having a little boogie here.
Hello, everybody. Episode 10.
Goodness me.
With you and me, Sam and Ree.
Excellent.
And we've finally got to...
Yes, the cardiovascular system.
Cardiovascular system. In fact, we've got three cardiovascular system podcasts.
So sorry for not doing them earlier, but it's taken a bit of time to organise and to get everything sorted.
Yeah, well, it'll be worth it.
I think so.
So the three podcasts are going to be this one, which would be the development of the blood vessels.
Yeah.
So we'll look at the arteries and the veins and how they form.
Yep.
Because that'll be nice and shortish.
Yeah.
And I know there's a fair bit of confusion there.
Yeah.
And then the second one will be how the heart develops.
Yes, heart tube.
Yeah, so we start with the tube and folding and then all the septa and all that sort of stuff.
Blah, blah, blah.
And then we'll finish off with...
Yes, the changes that happen to the cardiovascular system at birth.
So we can build up to that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, with these two, if we talk about what happens normally, we've got Geraint Morris.
Geraint Morris, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got Geraint coming in to give the third podcast where he'll tell us what changes occur in the fetus at birth normally to give us the switch from the fetal circulation to the adult circulation and why that's necessary. And then he'll tell us the problems that he sees and how they're fixed and that sort of thing.
Brilliant.
That sounds like a really good three to me.
Me too.
So one of three.
We're geniuses.
We wouldn't go that far. Oh, God, my cup of coffee is hidden all behind all this crap I got on the desk.
Okay, so do I still stand all right to you, Sam?
To me, you do, but...
How about to everyone else out there?
Okay,
well,
land,
talking about everybody else out there in podcast land, a little bit of research on the internet showed that a few of the medical schools have picked up on these embryology lectures, so...
You've been Googling yourself.
Actually, no, but I'm not going to go into that now. So anyone from other medical schools, hello, and thanks for listening to it, and we hope it helps, basically.
Yeah, this is the aim. I mean, these are podcasts for medical students. There are lots of medical students throughout the world. That's the aim, isn't it? I mean, we do a little bit of work, and people, if there's a lot of people getting benefit from it, then it's kind of more learning hours per teaching hour put in or something.
Whatever, you're gabbling. Right, okay.
Benefit to effort ratio.
Yeah, high. Good.
Yeah, so, you know, if you are listening to these or if you're recommending them, you can always drop us an email, s.v.webster@swansea.ac.uk, with any comments or anything else you'd like us to do. Not that we're running out of ideas or anything.
No, they'll probably tell you to stop dribbling on so much at the beginning of the podcast.
They can press pause or forward wind or scrub or something.
Okay, so what else have we got going on at the moment at Swansea?
Swansea? Oh, well, we're in the Easter break at the moment, so this is a bit... time relevant, so it might shift if you listen to this at a different time. But this is, I say, our Easter break. It's the students' Easter break, but of course we work through Easter. And the students are coming back next week for their exams. So that's why we're kind of trying to get these out as quickly as possible. We said we'd get these ready for our second-year students before they sit their intermediate MB exams.
Yes.
And we're going to do that easy.
Yes, hands down.
But our first-year students wanted them as well, so we're going to try and get these cardiovascular ones done in time for their... development, growth and reproduction module exam next week.
Yes.
We'll try and get that next couple of
it's
days.
It's going to be close, never mind.
It is a bit, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
So, and anything else you want to talk about before we get involved in the, you know, blood stuff?
Hey, go GB in the World Cycling Champs.
Oh yeah, I saw some of that on TV actually.
Talking about the cardiovascular system.
What, get your heart pumping?
Yeah, those guys have got awesome hearts.
They were, it was very impressive, yeah. Stuff.
I wonder if they're all normal.
I doubt it very much.
Big shout out to Geraint Thomas particularly.
Why, because you know him?
Because he's a young man from Cardiff. Oh, wow. Tour de France last year. And now a world record holder in the pursuit of the world champs.
Okay.
He was a junior world gold medalist, I think. And now he's a senior as well. Awesome ride.
Excellent. Very well
amazing
done.
Amazing guy. Amazing group. Yeah. So are we going to get lots of gold medals at the Olympics, do you think?
Oh, well, I hope so. And if it's got to be in cycling, so be it.
What, because you like to look at the lycra?
I have to avert my eyes from certain areas.
That was last week's podcast.
Anyway, let's start doing
so,
something.
So, blood vessels then.
Yeah, why are we here?
Oh, Olympics going to be good.
Right, focus.
Okay, so, right, if we said we're going to talk about blood vessels, we should start off at the beginning. So we should talk about the processes of blood vessel formation.
Mm-hmm.
We should talk about the cells that originally start off formation of blood and formation of blood vessels, cover that briefly.
Yep.
And then we should, let's talk about the arteries.
Yes. Yeah, do them
there's
first.
Kind of, there's one main area we should talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And then The veins are a real complex mishmash.
Ugh.
So we'll talk about the veins, but we'll kind of group it and structure it and
Well, we'll try
see if it
to.
makes sense out of it.
Okay.
Okay? And then that'll be us done.
Right.
So if we're 5 minutes in now with prattling,
Yeah, oh
see if we can get
goodness.
that done in another 20 minutes.
All right.
All right?
So when we start, we've got our embryo and so
When we start, we've got our embryo.
we've got I'm just trying to create a picture here. So we've got our embryo, right? And the size of the embryo is continually it's growing, obviously, and it's getting too big for it to get nutrients from diffusion. That's essentially why we need to begin creating the cardiovascular system.
Yeah, so we need a method by which the nutrients can be passed around to the developing cells.
Yeah. So how do we do it?
Well, I mean, to start with, if we go back to gastrulation,
Ooh,
and we've
right, okay.
got two-layered embryonic disc, and we're going to go to 3 layers. We have the primitive streak and cells diving down through the primitive streak. Some of those cells that dive down through the primitive streak are going to pop up in the future cardiac region, and as they pass through, they're going to start to differentiate into cardiac cells.
Yeah.
At that same time, blood islands, cells are starting to develop in the mesoderm. We start to get blood islands forming kind of around the wall of the yolk sac. In the lateral plate mesoderm, right? So
Yep.
those two processes, we have some cells which are going to form the future heart, and we have some cells which are going to form the blood and the blood vessels. And those appear separately, and they're all going to link up eventually. But to start off with, they're separately. So if we give you a couple of terms, if I say hemangioblast, what does that mean to you, Ree?
That to do with blood.
Awesome, thank you. Hemangioblast. Yeah, so blast, we're talking about a cell that's going to be making something. So hemangioblast, these would be the cells in the blood islands in the mesoderm.
Ah.
And these are the cells which are the precursors to both the blood vessels and the blood cells.
Clues in the name. What's the origin? Is that
Hemangio, yeah.
mesoderm?
So if you want to talk about signaling factors, we should mention VEGF. I think most medical students will know about VEGF.
Yeah.
Vascular endothelial growth factor, and that's involved in development of these blood vessels and blood cells.
Cool.
Yeah, okay. So we've got a blood island. So we've got like a little island of cells that are going to become bloody things, and they're spotted around the embryo,
Yeah,
right?
yeah, yeah.
So within that blood island, the cells in the middle are going to become the cells of the blood.
Right.
The cells around the outside, hey, this makes sense really if you think about it.
Yeah.
The cells around the
They're
outside
going to be
are
the blood
going to,
vessels.
yeah, they're going to proliferate and differentiate into endothelial cells and become the blood vessels. So the formation then of blood cells, that's hematopoiesis.
Yes.
The formation of blood vessels from those cells is
Yeah.
vasculogenesis. Is
Okay.
that right?
Yeah, that's what
Yeah.
we're around.
Okay.
What's angiogenesis?
Angiogenesis is when blood vessels branch off from existing blood vessels. You get new blood vessels branching off. So that's what occurs in tumors and what have
Brilliant.
you. Again, VEGF and Flick and what have you.
Cool.
But yeah, so vasculogenesis is a formation of blood vessels from cells. New blood vessels just spontaneously appear.
Forming.
And angiogenesis is blood vessels branching off existing blood vessels.
Well, thank you for clearing that up.
There's some good terms
Yeah.
there.
Okay, what else are we going to talk about then? So we've got our blood islands, if you like, that are forming the
Stuff.
blood vessels.
Yeah.
What do they form? Is there something
Well,
specific or?
yeah, I mean, as these vessels start to form and come together, we get some distinct structures, don't we? We get kind of running down the back of the embryo, or the dorsal part of the embryo,
Yeah.
we have a pair of aorti, dorsal aorti, and we have cardinal veins. So if you think about where the heart's going to develop, it's almost up in the neck at this point. You have a pair of cardinal veins, posterior cardinal veins running posteriorly from that. So draining blood from the body and the tail of the embryo. And then we have a pair of anterior cardinal veins running anteriorly, draining blood from the future
Head.
head and neck. Yeah, the
Excellent. That
cranial
makes
part.
sense.
Okay. So if we're going to talk about arteries first, then
We've got our
we talk
dorsal
about the
aorta.
aorta. Yeah, so it starts off as a pair of aorta because the big difference, I think, with the embryo and the adult
Yeah.
is symmetry versus asymmetry.
Right, yeah, of course.
Us adults, anatomically, we're asymmetrical, aren't we? Blood vessel wise, we have our arteries, our major artery, our aorta on the left.
Yeah.
We have the major vein, the vena cava,
Yeah, on
on the
the
right.
right.
And that's all. So how do we get from that, from the fetus to us?
Okay.
So in the fetus, there are like a symmetrical pair of aorti down the back. Probably very briefly though, because those come together to give a single dorsal aorta running down most of the length of the embryo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
And the cardinal veins are similarly paired.
Okay, so we've got two dorsal aorta, and then at the same time, we've still got something happening because they're dorsal, aren't they? Something happening on the ventral side. It's worth just mentioning that. I know we're going to go into the heart later on.
The vitelline artery, the heart,
the endocardial tubes that end up making the heart.
Okay, yeah. So all these vessels are running to and from the cardiogenic field,
area, yeah.
cardiogenic area, the area that's going to be the heart. And the heart is starts off just as a tube, linking obviously the arteries and the veins together, because by definition, the vein drains to the heart, an
Yep,
artery
and
leaves the
arteries.
heart. So,
Okay, so just a we've got something
yeah,
happening ventrally and something
that's a
happening
good point.
dorsally.
Yeah, so the developing heart is the tube linking these arteries and veins. Yeah,
Coolio.
okay. So if we're going to talk about the aorta and the arteries, then I reckon the major point is the development of the major vessels coming out of the heart, so
Yeah.
which come from the pharyngeal arches. Should we talk about that?
Ah, yes, the
Yeah.
aortic arches.
Yeah. So in weeks 4 and 5, the pharyngeal arches form, and these are structures in the future head and neck, which are gonna form all the structures of the future head and neck.
I do believe you've done a podcast on it, haven't you?
Yeah, there's an older one. I don't know if we're gonna do a new one or not.
We'll
We
see.
might do in the future. Yeah. So I think the key point is that each arch has a cranial nerve. Each arch has an artery. Each arch has a bit of connective tissue. Cartilage is gonna become bone and cartilage.
I see.
Each arch has, yeah,
I see. So
muscle and stuff.
we have the aortic arches to supply the pharyngeal arches.
Yeah, so each pharyngeal arch has an aortic arch.
Genius. How many aortic arches are there?
Let's say six.
Yeah.
Because we say there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, but five kind of doesn't really get going.
Right.
Clear as mud, doesn't it?
Yeah,
Yeah.
no, that's okay. So it just degenerates. That's what we're looking at.
So as far as when we look at the pharyngeal arches, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6 are really important to forming the structures of the future head and neck.
Right.
Five disappears before it gets going.
Okay.
So each of those arches has an aortic arch, and those aortic arches are going to form the major vessels leaving the heart in the thorax.
Okay, so each of the arches
The
then
neck.
that remains has it's develops into something in the adult. So we've
Yeah,
got so that's what we've got to
so I
look at.
reckon that's quite an important thing to talk about, to be
Yeah,
honest.
you're probably right.
The other arteries are fairly straightforward. They, yeah.
Yeah,
There's not really much to
okay.
say about them,
No.
is there?
All right, so should we go through what the aortic, the numbers of the aortic arches and what they end up being in the in an adult?
Yeah, I think this is an area of potential confusion as well. So let's talk about these and simplify it.
Okay,
Number
number
one.
one.
Number one, mostly disappears.
Oh, great.
Well, it's easy. Number one doesn't really hang around.
But doesn't it make them axillary
Yeah,
arteries?
some of it remains to form the maxillary artery.
Okay, fine.
Number two,
Most of it
most of
disappears?
it disappears. Some remnants of it will form what, the stapedial
Yeah.
arteries and the hyoid arteries,
Yeah,
but
around the
most of number
ear.
two disappears.
Okay.
If we're talking about major vessels in the thorax and neck, most of
Yeah.
it disappears.
Okay, so number
Number
three is where it
three.
gets interesting.
Number three. Number three is going to become the common carotid artery and the start of the internal carotid artery,
Yeah, and
and the external carotid artery is going to sprout from it.
oh, cool. So basically, number three makes the carotids, if you want to keep it simple.
Easy peasy.
Sweet. And what about number four? Oh, number four is when we start to see a bit of asymmetry, isn't it, going on? Like when we
Yes.
ha start to see changes in what's happening to the left side compared with what's happening to changes in the right side.
Something I just wanted to add is that we'll add some images to this so we can see the shape of these arches. But essentially, each aortic arch is carrying blood up from the heart and out to the left and to the right to the paired dorsal aorti that still exist in this region. So
Okay,
there's an
yeah.
arch to the left, there's an arch to the right, and the blood is passing to the dorsal aorti, the left dorsal aorta and the right dorsal aorta.
Okay.
Okay, so with number four, with arch number four, the left one then is this arch around the dorsal aorta, and that continues to exist, and in the adult will become the arch of the aorta.
Oh, genius.
And that will then be the main aorta, the surviving
I
aorta.
see. So number four is pretty much becomes the aortic arch on the left side.
Yeah, so the dorsal aorta then between 3 and 4 is going to disappear. So then the common carotid will become separate to,
Gotcha, yeah.
yeah.
If you can't see an image, if you haven't got an MP3 that's got images available, just get a textbook in front of you when you're looking at this.
Yeah, it will really help.
Okay.
We'll put images up on the podcast. I should probably put some up on the webpage as well, shouldn't
we? Yeah, that'll work. Okay, so...
What about the right side?
Yes, that's what I was going to ask you.
It forms the start of the right subclavian artery.
I see.
So in the adult, of course, we've got the aorta coming out the left side of the heart.
And then we've got the...
Fills up around and then starts to descend. On the right side, we have then the right subclavian artery coming off that arch of the aorta.
Brilliant. So that's number four.
What happens to number five?
Nothing.
Yeah, it doesn't really get going, does it?
No. Number six?
Number six. Well, number six, now we're down to the pulmonary arteries.
Right.
So the pulmonary trunk is part of the heart development.
Yeah.
But aortic arch number six will form the pulmonary arteries on the right and left side.
Okay.
And also?
It makes different things on the right and the left. Is that what you mean? Again?
The key thing about number six is that it will also form the ductus arteriosus.
Oh.
So on the left side. Okay, so what have we got? In the fetus... in the embryo and the fetus, the lungs are still developing.
Yeah.
And we looked at in that podcast, the development of the respiratory system, how the capillary network doesn't really form until much later.
Right.
So in the adult, a huge volume of blood passes through the lungs.
Yeah.
In the fetus, it doesn't.
Yep.
It's still developing. So much of that blood bypasses the developing lungs.
Lungs, yeah.
So there are a couple of mechanisms by which that happens.
And one is the ductus arteriosus.
One is the ductus arteriosus, and the other one is in the heart, which we'll look at in the next podcast. There's a hole in the heart, so the blood passes straight from the right side of the heart to the left side and around the body instead of going around the lungs. And the ductus arteriosus then passes blood from that pulmonary artery across to the dorsal aorta. It's a shortcut.
Right.
So instead of the blood coming out from the heart through the pulmonary trunk and then through the pulmonary arteries, around the lungs, and then back into the heart, it can pass across the ductus arteriosus, straight across to the descending aorta,
mm-hmm.
and disappear off around the body.
I see.
So there's a shortcut, so some of the blood can take that route, so less blood goes around the developing lungs.
I see, and that develops from the sixth aortic arch the left side.
But what happens
on the right?
The right pulmonary artery.
And what about the subclavian, the distal part of the subclavian
on the right
side? Okay. Yeah, whatever. All right, and also,
yes.
I know that we've mentioned the subclavian now on the right side, but where does the subclavian on the left side come from? Just, you know, to keep things neat and tidy. Do you know?
Again, this really helps with the diagram, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's basically the seventh intersegmental artery, which is a branch off the dorsal aorta rather than one of the aortic arches. That's all. But you'll see that on a diagram. Okay, so we've done aortic arches and what they mean. So one is pretty rubbish, two is pretty rubbish, five is very rubbish. So it's really only three, four and six that have got a lot of stuff happening.
Three, four and six, and think about it from the top down. Three at the top is the carotids. Four then is the arch of the aorta and the subclavians, all the other vessels coming off those. Six then is lower down is the pulmonary stuff and the ductus arteriosus.
Brilliant.
Easy peasy.
Sweet.
Okay.
Now what, veins?
Veins.
Yeah. Okay, there are three groups of veins that we need to look at.
We start off with three pairs. They do become groups.
Oh, yeah, pairs, yeah, of course.
Try and keep it simple.
Yep, pairs.
So in about week five, there are three pairs of major veins.
Yes.
So we've got a pair of cardinal veins, as we said. We've got a pair of vitelline veins and a pair of umbilical veins.
So what about, what do each do? Put my teeth back in. Yeah, what do each do?
Well, cardinal, if you look at the Vatican, the Latin word cardinal means principal of primary importance.
I see.
So they're, the Pope's right-hand guys or whatever. The guys that elect the next Pope.
Did you look that up on the internet?
So I did. So you learn
okay, so the cardinal ones,
the cardinal veins are the principal veins. They're the veins that are draining the body of the embryo, as we said before.
Yes.
The vitelline veins.
Yeah.
Well, vitellus is yolk.
Ah.
I think we've...
They're going to be draining the yolk sac.
They're draining the yolk sac.
I see.
So occasionally called the omphalo mesenteric veins. By real bores.
No thanks.
And the umbilical veins, which I think umbilicus means belly button. No, it does.
So basically, they're the ones that are bringing in oxygenated blood from the mother.
So, the umbilical veins linked to the placenta. So we need to look at each group of veins, which start off as pairs, in turn. Should we start with the worst first?
The worst, yeah, right. Well, the least important or the most difficult?
I think the cardinal are the most important and the most messy as well.
Right, okay. So the worst.
Yeah, I think the principle here again is to remember the embryo's blood vessels are symmetrical.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are left and right cardinal veins. In the adult, though, the major vein draining back to the heart is the vena cava.
Yeah.
Inferior and superior vena cava. So we've got to go from this symmetrical layout to an asymmetrical layout.
Okay, okay. So hold that in your brain.
Yeah, let's kind of talk about it in that sense. So the anterior and posterior pairs of cardinal veins join to form the common cardinal veins which drain back to the heart.
Okay.
Okay. And then after this point, after about week five, from week five to seven, some new cardinal veins arise. So that would be by...
Angiogenesis.
Yeah,
that one.
Sorry, going to catch you napping.
Yeah.
These new cardinal veins arise and they're going to be draining the new structures that are developing in the embryo. And these would be subcardinal veins, supracardinal veins, and sacrocardinal veins.
Oh, sacro, is that got anything to do with the sacro, pelvic region?
Yeah, that's right down there. I know on the sacrocardinal, down in that region, you're thinking iliacs. And,
yeah,
sort of thing. Don't want to talk about those veins in too much detail because it gets really messy really quickly.
Okay, I think that's fine by all of us. Okay, so we've got our cardinal veins.
Yes, we have the cardinal veins and we have these other veins which have branched from them. So we have all sorts of veins paired, so it's symmetrical still.
Okay.
But anastomoses start to form between the left and the right pairs of these vessels, these different cardinal vessels.
Right.
And it's these anastomoses that are going to become the adult structures. Most of these cardinal vessels are going to degenerate, particularly on the left side.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it's the anastomoses between the left and the right side which are going to form the adult structures. For example, the anastomosis between the two anterior cardinal veins is going to become the brachiocephalic vein.
Okay.
A link between an anastomosis between the subcardinal veins is going to form the left renal vein because the left kidney is some way away from the inferior vena cava, whereas the right kidney is right next to it.
Okay.
So the left renal vein traversing the abdomen.
Yeah.
That's formed from an anastomosis passing between a left and a right subcardinal vein.
Right, okay.
The subcardinal veins themselves disappear later on.
Yeah, but those then, the links between are the things that remain.
Yeah. In fact, the distal part of the left subcardinal vein is going to remain as a left gonadal vein.
Okay.
So you can see the link there between renal vein, gonadal.
Right,
vein
okay.
And where they develop and that sort of
thing. Yeah, because the gonad develops very close. Okay, I got
it. So the anastomoses persist, but the left-sided cardinal veins start to disappear.
Right.
So it's the remaining structures on the right side which are going to form the inferior vena cava. So the right subcardinal vein, the right vitelline vein, the sacrocardinal veins, they're going to persist and join up to form the inferior vena cava, draining blood from the body back to the heart.
Okay. Yep, I think I've got it.
Okay, I think that's all right. If we look at the other side of the heart, the superior vena cava is formed from the right common cardinal vein and part of the right anterior cardinal vein. So again, we see the right vessels are persisting, the left vessels are disappearing.
Okay.
That's my key idea I want to get across.
Okay, but rather than specifics...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that anybody really needs to know specifics.
Just checking.
Well, hopefully this would be a good springboard.
Yeah,
to you listen to this, get this idea, go hit the textbooks and look at the detail. Hopefully the detail will sit a little bit better after getting that idea in your head.
Right.
It might work. I don't know. We can but try.
Okay, so that's the cardinal veins.
Tick.
Yeah, done. Next one.
Vitelline veins, because they're easy, I think.
Drain the yolk sac. What else?
They drain the yolk sac. The key point of the vitelline veins is they come in from the yolk sac and pass around the region that's going to become the liver.
Ah.
So those veins start to become the veins of the liver. In particular, the portal vein, the hepatic portal vein.
Of course.
And the hepatic sinusoids and that sort of thing. And that is going to form part of the inferior vena cava.
Okay.
As we just mentioned, the right vena, the right vitelline vein.
Got it.
And the right vitelline vein is also going to give the superior mesenteric vein.
Say that again.
The right vitelline vein
is
going to form the superior mesenteric vein in the adult.
Okay, got it.
Left one disappears.
Right one.
Most of the left one disappears pretty much entirely.
Yeah.
So the right one, for example, forms a superior mesenteric vein.
Okay,
so
thank you.
It's kind of coming in around the liver, the hepatic region, around the duodenum, bit of a plexus, forming some blood vessels around there.
Right.
So you remember the superior mesenteric vein, the splenic vein, they come together, form the portal vein.
Yeah.
Drains back to the inferior vena cava. Makes sense if you think about it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All those blood vessels there linked together come from the right vitelline vein.
Brilliant.
Vitelline veins.
Done.
Ticked.
Sweet.
Umbilical veins. Now, this is quite nice. This is okay.
Okay, good.
Now, for most of the fetus's life, we know that there is one umbilical vein surrounded by two umbilical arteries that twist around it, right? But to start with, there are a pair of umbilical veins. And again, these pass around the developing liver and they link with the veins within the liver, the hepatic sinusoids and what have you.
Okay.
Now, the proximal parts of both the left and right umbilical veins regress and disappear.
Right.
And the right vein, the right umbilical vein, regresses completely. So we're just left with our one umbilical vein, which in this case happens to be the left one.
Okay. What does that do? What does that? Why does it stay and what, you know?
Why does it stay? Well, it's taking blood from the placenta back to the inferior vena cava and back to the heart, right?
Yeah.
But because it's going through the liver.
Yeah.
As the placental circulation increases, the amount of blood passing around increases, another blood vessel forms. So as instead of having to pass through the liver and through all the hepatic sinusoids, blood can pass more easily and more directly back
like
to the inferior vena cava. We get another shortcut. And that shortcut is called the...
ductus venosus.
Yeah, very good. So we have a ductus arteriosus, we have a ductus venosus.
I see.
And the ductus venosus is a vessel passing from the remaining umbilical vein.
Yep.
The left one.
The
remaining umbilical vein back to the inferior vena cava and back to the heart.
Brilliant. Okay, brilliant, so that does make sense. Yeah, yeah.
One other point then, if we're going to finish up here, is that the vitelline veins, the umbilical veins, and the common cardinal veins are all going to contribute pretty much to the sinus venosus in the heart.
Okay, and we'll...
which we'll talk about
a bit more
next week.
Yeah.
So we'll link those together. All these veins we've talked about are going to come together at the heart a very early stage and form the sinus venosus.
Ooh, okay.
We'll see where the sinus venosus comes next time.
Ooh, it's so exciting. Bit of mystery.
Ah, oh, look at that. See, that's 27 minutes and a bit.
Ooh, well, that was okay. I think that was...
Okay?
No, I mean...
I think that was not bad.
No, it was good. There's a lot to grasp.
I think that was half all right.
No, there's a lot to grasp, I mean. That's all. I mean, I don't know how you guys out there are probably doing fine with it, but...
There is a lot to grasp. I think the aortic arches, you need to compare with diagrams. The veins, maybe not so, because we're trying to get ideas across, but the veins can get very, very complicated. But that's it in a nutshell. I think that's probably as much as you need to know at this stage.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much. Yeah. Yeah.
Back in now.
Cup of tea?
Yeah, I've got a cold cup of coffee. Ugh. Got bits in it.
All right, people. Thank you very much for listening to us today, and we'll get the other cardiovascular one about the heart out to you as quickly as possible.
Yes. Are you going to draw some heart images? Or oh, we've already drawn some.
Oh, yeah.
See, look, we're pretty prepared.
Done.
All right. Cheers, guys. See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.